Democrat of the day is 60A. Sidney Jordan is the winner of the DFL primary for the special election to fill the 60A seat. The special election comes up here on February 4th. Sidney is kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign and talk about what she wants to bring to St. Paul. Sidney, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure here. This is a seat. I know Ken Martin will get mad at me over at the DFL for saying this as well. You know, I'm pretty good. I feel pretty good you're going to go. I mean, it's Northeast Minneapolis, not exactly toss-up territory. And I feel it is. I mean, we want everyone to go out and vote. February 4th, special election for 60A. But this is a seat. Yep. I think it's feeling, I imagine you're feeling pretty positive about what's coming up here on February 4th, correct?
Yeah, you know, I feel really positive about my neighbors in Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como. I'm very blessed, and we're all really blessed to have such a progressive community. We know that. I think it's great. You can just tell by our past primary that there's a lot of really engaged leaders that are really focusing on conversations that are democracy and our values. So it's a real honor to have won that primary, and it's a real honor to be going on to compete in the fourth general election.
So it's
a really great seat.
How many total candidates for the DFL did they have in that primary?
11.
There you go. Yeah, it wasn't easy, but I mean, you did have a platform here, and I want to start by talking about public education. You support public education. The reality, and it's something I've talked about numerous times on the show here, is between the constant picking apart of budgets for public schools, whether that's open enrollment, whether that's charter schools. The reality is we still have a school district that's left behind, that is grossly underfunded, and a lot of people that don't have the ability to open enroll or go to a charter school or don't want to. They just want to go to a good public school. They're basically left with a school that's fighting to get by on the scraps here. It is something that you're seeing in Minneapolis for sure. Talk a little bit about that, because that is something that I think we as a state really have to address, not just for the inner city schools, but for the rural schools as well. Yeah.
Well, for me, public education is one of the greatest things about our democracy. And that's why I did really run on making sure that we had fully funded public education, particularly addressing needs for funding in special education and English language learners. These are something that we all agree are an important thing that our schools, and in particular our public schools, need to offer. So let's make sure the state budget is funding that. Governor Walz has quoted several times saying that if you really want to look at our values, you should look at our budget. So making sure that our budget is reflective of our value of public education is really important to me. I used to work for the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers and Education in Minnesota. I have been in almost every single public school here in Minneapolis, and so that's why public education is so important to me. You really do see how gaps in our funding lead to equity issues. And I think the idea that there are schools, that are underfunded, which is creating winners and losers among education and with our students and children, is something that was really morally reprehensible to me. So making sure that we're going to St. Paul and fully funding public education is really one of my top priorities. And I think that education is one of those things that is one of our more important democratic values. So making sure that we're fully funding public education across the state is really important. I don't think our public education system is one that can be picking winners and losers among our future and among children and students. So that's why education has always been so important to me.
Well, and the thing which is always, I find to be amazing about that issue, is that the suburban schools do great. I mean, and they really do. They got a lot of money. The tax base is there. But the problems that the inner city schools are having, the Minneapolis-St. Paul school districts, are almost exactly the same. I mean, they're coming at them from a different angle. In rural Minnesota, in the farm country, you get a case there where they just don't have the tax base that they can get to get the schools funded. But once again, it leads to shortfalls and open enrollment and charter schools, and their budgets are getting picked apart. I think you have to look at putting into place a better funding system for our public schools that is not so dependent on the idea of the property taxes, and also is looking more at the fact of, okay, if you're going to have open enrollment, you can't have that punish a school district to the point that we're doing today.
Exactly. I think your future shouldn't be determined on how wealthy your neighbors are.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we really see this in a lot of parts of Minneapolis, but you're right, we do see this across the state. And that's why I think it is something that we could move on and inspire people across the state of all different backgrounds to make sure that we're fully funding education, because at the end of the day, it's one of our
most quintessential Democratic, but Minnesota values.
Absolutely. Good news for the city of Minneapolis. The Minnesota Supreme Court has validated $15 an hour minimum wage there, although it was being fought by conservative groups. I will make an even argument that I don't think $15 an hour for a job is enough. I mean, we are at a point where, especially when you live in these metro areas where the cost of living is much higher, that you know, we our current pay system is, even with the increases Minnesota's putting in as a whole, are just not enough. I think that is getting, you know, more workers, you know getting better pay, right, better and better working rights, I think are just standards we have to look at for Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Right. I think the other thing to keep in mind is one job should be enough. Every worker has the right to live with dignity and be treated with respect. And making sure that people can afford their lives with one job is important. I strongly support raising the minimum wage. I was on the Minneapolis Works Coalition with a number of other labor and progressive groups where we did work on raising the wage in Minneapolis. So I'm really proud to have seen that was upheld. I think it's important that we're uplifting wages and standards of living across Minnesota, though, too. So I'm excited to get to work on that in the Capitol.
We also should mention you're an advocate for reproductive freedom and women's rights. I've always said this, that, I mean, now, once again, just because abortion is legal, you can choose not to have one. I mean, that's, no one is forcing anyone to have one in this country, and that's the beauty of it. I always have found it amazing to me as well that no man in this country would ever tolerate women dictating which kind of treatment they could get for prostate cancer or what kind of thing like this. But yet there is a lot of men that kind of try to dictate what women can do with their own bodies. And I'm just aghast by that. Individual freedom is what we're supposed to be here for. And let's reproductive freedom. I mean, that's something that's the individual's choice.
It is. And I know for me, my life is better because I've been able to make my own healthcare choices. So making sure that not only every woman, but every person who needs to be able to seek abortion as healthcare is important to me. I'm very intentional and say that I want to make sure that people have access to abortion. I think that when we don't use and we don't talk about what the medical procedures we're having is, we leave some of that stigma. So making sure that we're talking about abortion access for anyone who wants them of any gender is really important to me. The other thing that's really important to me is acknowledging that we have restrictions on abortion access in Minnesota, so making sure that we're undoing that so everyone does have that ability to make their own choices about their health care is really important to me.
And
Unrestricted MN is a really great organization that talks about a lot of those restrictions that we don't always think about. So.
And
it's really great that we do have resources out there.
It should be mentioned the Republicans' fight against abortion. It also has hurt women's reproductive health clinics and options for women that have nothing to do with having a baby or not having a baby. There have been restrictions and women have not been able to get the health care that they need because face it, the Republicans paint with a wide brush on this issue, and so it's a case where it's not just about individual reproductive freedom. It is about women's health care as a whole.
We see those healthcare disparities across Minnesota. We see healthcare disparities about people have access to all sorts of healthcare. So making sure that everyone can get that, whether it's at a Planned Parenthood clinic or if it's at a local small clinic that relies on government grants, is really important to me to make sure that those disparities that I think you rightly acknowledge are taken care of. A lot of times people go to Planned Parenthood or another clinic, not just for seeking abortion or seeking help with pregnancy or reproductive freedom, but also just sometimes for a checkup or work or making sure that they're not sick or contagious. So that's really important too.
One last thing that I want to bring up just kind of out of the blue a little bit on you. I want to talk to you a little bit about transportation. I'm in beautiful palatial Eden Prairie here where they're actually building a light rail line half a block from where we're at here. North Minneapolis, I will make an argument, is grossly underrepresented as far as transportation options. What would you like to see the state look at investing, not just for your district, but the areas, the suburbs north and the suburbs heading into the north central part of the metro core? You do have the ability to get people around here. It just is Republicans seem to be refusing to try to help people for antiquated reasons.
Yeah, well, I think just like any of these systems, when parts of our government are not funded appropriately, they don't work as well. So making sure that we're fully funding transportation is really important for me, and making sure that we're emphasizing transit options and reliance on transportation systems that aren't cars is really important to me. One of the things I would really like to see is the North is prioritized for a bus rapid transit line, but making sure that Northeast and Como also have access to modern, high-quality, and reliable transportation that gets them from point A to point B as quickly and with as much, again, respect and human and treating people with human dignity as possible. I think we think a lot about basic bus, but making sure our existing transportation system works, but also allocating for more growth there is really important to me. So I think when we do think about moving people from where they want to live to a high-quality job elsewhere, that's a great thing that they can prioritize.
Sydney Jordan, once again, this special election for the 60A seat is coming up here on February 4th. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm going to call that race right now. I think you're going to be the next representative for 60A. Still vote. Get out there. Vote. Don't take this lightly. February 4th, you know, be proud of that. But I'm feeling pretty good about your chances here. I look forward to seeing you in St. Paul. Congratulations. I do want to also remind everyone out there, there's not only this special election, but I'm presuming Sydney's going to want to go back in November as well for another full term in the Minnesota House. If you'd like to volunteer, help out her campaign, and find out how you can be part of her organization, sydneyjordan.org. That's Sydney, S-Y-D-N-E-Y, Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N.org, correct?
That's it.
Beautiful. Thanks, Matt. My pleasure. Sydney, thank you very much. All my best. Congratulations on the primary win. And I, like I said, I think we'll be seeing you in St. Paul.
We're looking forward to the general. So thank you.
You bet.